A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Kat Knapsack, and this is a show where we dive into the Star Wars databanks, maybe occasionally Wikipedia if we need more information. In fact, often we do, because we are going into the wilds of the databank to find some fun character moment, the wild, weird, wondrous wizardy. We'll find another W to talk about those parts of Star Wars we love to celebrate. We did a season of the show on the Companion Sci-Fi app. If you want to check it out, you can head over to that spot there. Joseph, we are releasing this episode on Christmas Day. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, so we're going to introduce a new W, and it's going to be How Witchy Are the Night Sisters? No, I'm joking.
Hey, yeah, there you go. Hey.
For Halloween, we'll do that one. But as we are releasing this in the holiday time, we wanted to do something that maybe celebrate some of the fun of this season. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if there's like a character who's kind of like Santa Claus in Star Wars? And then I was like, wait, there is kind of from a very weird certain point of view, but it's right there to be found in this character's name. We will be discussing today the character Nick Sant. There are many listeners who I'm sure is like, all right, yes, my favorite, Nick Sant. And maybe a few who are like, vague memory, and maybe some more who are like, the hell are you talking about? So we are going to fill out what the hell we're talking about by first going to the StarWars.com databank to see what they have to say about the Star Wars character Nick Sant. And they have nothing to say. There is no entry on Nick Sant. They even reorganized the databank, Ken. I don't know if you've seen this, but they did a massive reorg. It's going to be a little bit easier to find things. That's great. Still no Nick Sant. So we must turn in the true holiday spirit. We go one place and it's not there for us, but we have to go somewhere else. And we're welcomed with open arms by Wikipedia. And here's what Wikipedia has to say. Nick Sant was a male human who served in the military of the Alliance to restore the Republic during the Galactic Civil War. By the time of the Battle of Endor in 4 ABY, Sant was one of the most veteran scouts in the Rebel Alliance. The strike team was led to the back entrance of the shield generator bunker where four Imperial scout troopers stood guard. When an Ewok, Paplu, stole a speeder bike, three of the scout troopers followed, leaving only one at the shield generator. The Rebels captured the trooper, and Sant disguised himself in his armor, taking up the trooper's post while the rest of the strike team entered the bunker. However, as part of Emperor Palpatine's plan, more Imperial troops who had been expecting them arrived and captured the Rebels, including Sant, whose disguise they saw through.
Biker scouts don't do that.
Not long. Is that a beard poking out?
On the bottom of it.
Not long after they were captured, however, the Ewoks ambushed the Imperials, starting the ground battle proper. Now, I got a little bit more behind the scenes, but I want to stop there because I think for anybody who's like driving and can't look at images or Google, this is probably where the dime drops about who Nick Sant is, right? Yeah. The weird guy with a bushy beard, looks very Santa Claus-like, who is just in a shot. You see him in plenty of shots, but then you see him. Hey, they got all the Rebels lined up. Why is one of them? Why is old Santa guy dressed like an Imperial biker scout? It's a fun thing to notice. So I wanted to just start there. Do you remember when you first noticed Nick Sant?
I'm proud to say from the very beginning, 7 years of age. Whatever God you choose to worship. I tell you, I loved it. And I used to, I was the one on the playground going, yeah, he's the disguised as the biker scout. I didn't know he was Nick Sant. That would come later, all that kind of stuff. But like old, you know, bushy beard guy. And it's one of those shared inside jokes, right? Of, yeah, you know, the guy with the beard. I love that guy. That type of my friends and I used to joke, but I've missed a lot of things in my Star Wars time. A lot of things I didn't catch that. 40 years on. Ooh, that's right. I didn't notice that. I'll admit to this. Stormtrooper bumping his head. I don't think until it became a meme, I had really paid attention to that. I missed that. So I'm not pumping myself up here, but because I love the biker scout. So I thought it was great that there the one guy was undercover.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I can't remember when I noticed, probably during one of my many viewings, you know, on VHS and college or early adulthood, picked that out. And by then I think I was at an age to realize, oh, wow, there must have been a deleted scene here of that and found it like really, really cool and interesting because of like a obscure little Easter egg from my perspective. I didn't have a ton of people to talk to about it. I don't think I had anybody to turn and go, hey, I think I was alone when I was viewing this and the Nick Sant dime dropped. But if there was so great of like, yeah, well, the Rebels always try to do that. Guess it didn't work this time. Oh, well, yeah. Can't all be winners. All right. So now that we're clear on who we're talking about, here's some behind the scenes info. Ooh. Nick Sant appeared briefly as a member of Han Solo's strike team in the 1983 film Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. He was first identified as Nick Sant in the official Star Wars Fact File 44 in 2002. According to a continuity Polaroid from Return of the Jedi, he was portrayed by one L. Burner.
I mean,
is that a real name? Is that a real person?
Is that a burner name? We've, you know, our friend Jamie Stangroom did his Empire Strikes Door doc on the stormtrooper who hit the head and who was the actor that played him because it was in debate. We got to be the next doc, Finding L. Burner.
Finding L. Burner, if that was a real name. I know, I'm sorry, that sounds like a pot dealer's code name. Yeah, I'm L. Burner. You meet me at this corner? Like, I'm sorry.
It's the old Homer Simpson, Guy Incognito.
Exactly. So continuing into a discussion that always haunts this character, so it must be addressed right at the beginning. This is from behind the scenes on Wikipedia. The similarities between Sant's appearance and that of the former clone Captain Rex, a character who appears in both the Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels television series, stoked speculation that Sant and Rex could be the same character. In 2016, at a screening of the second season finale of Star Wars Rebels, executive producer Dave Filoni speculated that the bearded old guy on Endor, Nick Sant, could be Rex, suggesting it did not make any sense for there to be an old guy in Endor unless it was someone like Rex. The Rebels series finale, which aired on March 5th, 2018, confirmed that Rex did fight at the Battle of Endor, but did not go so far as to confirm that Rex and Sant are the same character. 6 months after the episode's airing, Filoni revealed in an interview with IGN he ultimately chose to not canonize the theory because he felt that laying down an already established character prior to his coming to Star Wars wasn't correct, adding that Rex could have been present at Endor and not be Sant, even though some fans could choose to believe that Sant and Rex are the same individual, while others choose to not do so. So, Ken, that's where the conversation has to begin, because I have been on the receiving end of heated tweets from both directions of, nuh-uh, Dave Filoni said he is Sant, and other people saying he's explicitly said he isn't. That's what we get from Wikipedia. That's what we get from these different interviews of Filoni. So before we can possibly go any further and get into all the fun of Nick Sant, do you feel Nick Sant and Rex are the same character or should be or any of that? Where do you go?
No, I don't think they're the same character. I don't think they should be. And we'll get to maybe some of the most important reason around that in a second. But also just adding to the, remember, part of this was someone from the Rebels design team, remember, kind of accidentally leaked a design kind of saying, yeah, it was. And that's kind of helped fuel it along with Filoni's comments. But yeah, the idea, and look, if you're speaking at a panel, maybe you're on a podcast, in a quick snapshot kind of way, it makes a lot of sense. If you're just kind of running, you know, like we do on live tape broadcasts, you're just kind of running at 60 miles an hour in your head and someone's like, what do you think? And you're like, yeah, maybe. The bigger issue is, you know, Tamara Morrison playing the clones and Nick L. Burner. I don't think they're of the same background is what we'll say. So, you know, we don't want to whitewash a character at all, but I think just in a quick, like, oh, sure. Cause it's kind of a fun idea. And I like where we end up with Rex and the fact that now we have two characters with bushy beards at Endor.
Yeah. I really agree with everything you're saying. I think, you know, it's great to read Wikipedia for just the facts. But I believe that, you know, when Filoni was first talking about this, it was from a sense of fun and a sense of why not. And we drew these lines together and maybe they would be. And I think Filoni likes to be cheeky about maybe I will canonize that. Maybe I won't, you know, going back to the, you know, Ahsoka Lives shirts and things like that. I think it's one of the ways that he interacts with the fan community, and it is coming from such a positive place, you know, reflecting people's excitement about connections between characters. Yeah. And I really get where it came from, right? I think when I first heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Look, the beard works. Like, who are you going to put in the armor? Well, the person who was born to wear armor, almost literally, you know? Of course, Rex would be the one who'd do that. And, like, so I get where it came from. But then I think it is, you know, where you really need to be respectful and listen and hear perspectives and, you know, hopefully stop and think for yourself that the history of the character of Rex is a person of color and that matters. So I think that is really important to me. And I think that's, you know, sort of the important issues and ideas of the real world, you know, intersecting with just Star Wars fun. But then I also think within the galaxy of Star Wars, I really think Rex deserves his own story, right? I mean, you and I have made lots of jokes about all the different characters from books and comics and video games who are now on Endor, and there's like a different character behind every tree in that battle. Like, fair enough. I want Rex to have his own story. He came back and he committed to taking down the Empire, and he was there. What happened to him? What was his deal? I want it to be totally his own story and not have to have it be shoehorned into Santa looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really agree with that. And there's more storytelling possibilities. And, you know, you've had beards at different points in your life, but when you become a beard guy and you look across the room and you see a beard guy and you give that like, hey, what's up? Like, I want Rex and Nick Sant to have that moment too. Like, look, hey, you got a bushy beard too. Look at you. Yeah. That could exist.
I'm going to take that as a pitch for a Disney Plus series called Beard Guys, The Battle of Endor. All right. So with some of those clarifications and possible controversies out of the way, let's dive into celebrating the wild, weird factor or wondrous factor, given the beard of Nick Sant. How would you physically describe Nick Sant?
I would describe him as if there was ever going to be a Star Wars character that turned to another character and said, is that Freedom Rock, man? Turn it up. That's what we got. That's a dated reference. I know. He looks like a tan. I'll say it looks like he's gone to the beach a lot. He's hung out in Malibu. He's got a big, bushy, white/blonde beard. He looks, and this is, I grew up thinking this more than anything. He looks like the G.I. Joe character Rock and Roll, who is a heavy gunner known for having the bandoliers around. He rode a motorcycle too in G.I. Joe. And he was a old Malibu hippie who had joined the cast type of thing. And I have never been able to separate the two. So you have that kind of big bushy beard. He's got a weathered, we can't say weathered brow, but he's got some weathered cheeks and maybe some wrinkles around his eyes. He is wearing the Rebel Pathfinder camo. He's got the shirt over the jacket kind of over the shirt. He's got a lot of belts. He's got a big gun. He's got the boots. He's got the camo. He's got it all. And he's got that Pathfinder helmet with the dent in it. He looks like a rebel in action. And I have just found, Joseph, the picture you're talking about, the continuity photo of L. Burner in Forest. We're going to find Leonard Burner, Leo Burner, Luke Burner. We're going to find him. We're going to find him one day. So that's my simple surface level description of Nick Sant.
Oh, I think that's a great one. I'm going for Leo Burner. He looks like a Leo. Maybe yes. Maybe literally is born in August. He's a Leo. Yeah. He doesn't take no guff. Yeah. There is something about him that really does. I understand where the Nick Sant, Saint Nick, Santa Claus joke. The reason we're doing this episode today, I understand that connection. That's a great bit of cheeky, small Star Wars character naming convention. But there is just something about his vibe that is so like been there, done that, broken that, wrote a novel about it, and I'll tell you about it, kid. Just a rough and ready old man who's still powerful. He looks like a picture, like in the dictionary, the old man still got it. There should be a picture of him. He looks like Santa if Santa was cast as a Marine in a Predator movie. Like he's got fight in him.
Yeah, he does. Wrestling fans do this thing when an old timer gets in the ring. They do the dun 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 dun. You still got it. Dun 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 dun. I think he's got that. Yeah, man. He's like, hey, man. I was hanging out at Niamos, man, in my space van. The Empire kicked me out and gave me a ticket, and I spent 2 years in Arkina, man. I'm here for the fight. And I think that's the vibe I take from his face.
Yeah, wherever the Summer of Love happened in Star Wars, whatever planet and. Yes. Year ABY, BBY, whatever year it was, Nick Sant was there.
That's what he was like, man, I was selling pizzos to this cool guy named Keith. Next thing you know, I was arrested, man.
Tell me, man, it was the planet of love. Namos, the planet of love. So I think we're getting into a little bit the next question of what is the magic of Nick Sant? What is this old man who puts on biker scout armor add to the legend of Star Wars?
Well, I'll start here in trying to put together a thumbnail for this. Like, it's hard to get a photo, like a good photo. I'd actually go screenshot the movie, and it's a flash. That shot that goes around of him holding the blaster, kind of hunched over, the rebels behind him, with the, you know, this is when they pull the trap on the Imperials. It's a second, but that second, it's a lifetime of Star Wars. And you look at that, and here we are. We're having fun with the stories there, but All the jokes of what is Gonk droid going to get a Star Wars movie? Give me a Nick Sant movie because I want to know this story, this guy. That's the magic. even in 83 as a kid, it was the ragtag rebellion. It wasn't, you know, and you know, now beards are, beards come and go, right? Beards are in fashion. They're in fashion now. I have one. You know, every president used to have mutton chops. Now you got to be clean shaven. It changes the time. But I loved in 83 that this, you got the Imperials on one side and you got this dude with the beard, man. And it just tells a story. And that's part of the magic. You'd call it the tip of the iceberg storytelling of Star Wars. This inspired playground conversations. This inspired like strategic conversations. My friend, like, okay, so that guy's going, he's wearing a mask and he's going undercover. And that's kind of a Star Wars tradition, right? And just so much about it. That's the magic. You look at this face, it's built for EU legend stuff. It's built for Wikipedia entries. He's got a story to tell, man, and he wants to tell it.
Yeah, I think that's so great. I really agree. I think there's a kind of a couple levels to his magic. I think one of them is just that name, Nick Sant, that we're celebrating by the release of this episode. The fact that he does look like rough and tumble Santa. Like, you know, there's that movie in theaters now with Dave Harbour, you know, Violent Night, right? And like, you could almost do that, you know, internet meme with the butterfly of like, is this Nick Sant? Because he is just, he looks like Santa who's not going to take it anymore. Like, that's part of the magic of this character. It's like, it's this weird, how did that happen? Why did, whose casting office did Leo Burner wander into? And people were like, you're the guy we've been looking for to put in that biker scout armor. Like, how'd that happen? That badass Santa ended up fighting with the Ewoks on Endor, you know?
And look, you know how a lot of these, you know, these day players and extras go. Like, they all show up, they get in their outfits, they take these Polaroid shots, and Leo Burner gets a shot forever in time. And then when they go to set them up, they're Richard Marquand or someone is like, that guy needs to go in front. That guy's got to go right in the front. This was a choice. And by the way, no respect to disrespect to L. Burner, David Harbour as Nick Sant in a Star Wars story. I'm sold. Whoa.
It's the casting is just there. It's automatic. It's beautiful. I also think, like, you know, there's a joke that has diminishing truth, unfortunately, right? That every background character in Star Wars has a name, a history, an action figure, you know, that we had the luxury that was totally true for original trilogy, prequel trilogy, you know, most characters in all the modern films we have names for, but some of them escaped. We certainly don't have action figures of all the background weirdos. But for that joke, that idea that every tiny little character has a rich history and multiple action figures, Nick Sant is one of the very best examples of that, right?
Yes.
He's prominent in that one shot, but he's mostly known for being the vestigial tale of a deleted scene, the clue that there was something else there, right? Not even like a character who has one funny line or one background shot. He's just like, he's a symbol of like, yeah, that was cut. And we couldn't cut around the evidence of this deleted scene. So it became a thing with fans, you know? Yeah. And then years and years later, 2002, he gets his fake Santa Claus name, you know?
Yeah.
And now there's, you know, even there are two action figures of him now. There's there's one that came in an Endor battle pack. And as we are speaking, like, I think the last week, they released a Endor bunker playset with a Nick Sant action figure in biker scout disguise.
I didn't know that. I knew. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I always want playsets, you know, but I don't need the Endor, you know, bunker playset. But I might buy it for that action figure.
I might need that. That might go from want to need. Oh, I didn't. I know the set's awesome. I hadn't paid that much attention to it because I just, you know, I'm not getting figures as much these days. All right, I got a space on the shelf to clear.
Yep. Vintage carded Nick Sant. That's how they get you. Anyway, there's a lot of magic about Nick Sant. Clearly, we're going to take a quick break and we'll dive into more of the fun and the weirdness of Nick Sant back in a moment.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique. And your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we are back to continue celebrating the wild, weird, wondrous factor of the character Nick Sant. So, Ken, you and I shared our personal canon conclusion that he's not Rex. Rex has another story. So if he's not Rex, if he doesn't have that armor history that Rex does, why did Nick Sant, out of every Rebel Pathfinder there, get to dress up as the Biker Scout?
Spectacular. Number one, maybe he used to be one, right? Maybe they're like, and then maybe that's why he has the beard. He grew, I remember when I got out of my day job in 2015, that's the long hair and beard came out of Screen Junkies because I finally could. So maybe that's it. But I like the idea too, keeping with my silly, wacky headcanon on the guy. When he was hanging out on the Amos selling pizzos and hanging around town, he did have a space fan, but he also had a space hawk. And I think he hit the motor, hit the motor running. I think he was out there easy riding around the galaxy as well. And I think they were like, if you need to get on a speeder bike, like maybe as Biker Scout comes up to you and is like, we got to go out and do patrol, you could do it and do it with skill and enough to convince them. So, hey, that's you. Because you're right, it's a wild card decision. Wild card, baby. Like, it's wild card because that beard, I don't know, you could fit it into the mask, but there's probably a chance it's going to poke out. So there's other better choices just for the disguise. I think it had to do with the skills.
Yeah, and I'm not disparaging body types in any way, but he is kind of like old school barrel chested. Like,
yes,
L. Burner's body is the way Superman used to be drawn in the 40s. Like, he's not body type the most natural choice for the Biker Scout, right?
It's not at all. You're right. And yeah. Biker Scouts are these skilled snipers we know from Battlefront games. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that makes it even more interesting. It makes me feel like in my headcanon that he pushed for it, that he wanted it, right?
Yeah.
So I have a headcanon that night before they were going, Han's dealing with his stuff. They're messing around with the Ewoks, whatever. And Nick Sant tells all the other Pathfinders, one of us is probably going to have to dress up as a trooper. And I'm going to leg wrestle every person here for the honor. And he just creamed them all in leg wrestling.
Yes, I like that.
Either that, or maybe he is the last rebel who's never dressed up as an Imperial, and it's just, it's finally his time.
Hey, man, can I do this one? Come on, Han. Yeah.
Everybody else has done it. All right. So we've talked a little bit about Nick Sant's vibe. You got him on Pizos, the planet of love, in his in his space bus, his space van. But yeah. What's the rest of that backstory for you? Why did he join the rebellion? Why is he here?
I really do think he represents those oppressed in their own way. There's a lot of different kind of ways the oppression was felt. I think he's been around a while. He probably, you know, he's definitely experienced the fall of the Republic. He definitely was there before. Who knows? Maybe he was on the separatist side, but I think it's a lived in experience. It's an earned rebellion, right? And I think everyone earns their rebellion in their own way. We all have our own rebellions. What was that quote from Andor? And I think that's where I think he is. I think he wants to be there, but he's one of those guys that's like, it's a shame that I need to be here, but I do want to be here. And I'd rather be on the beach. I'd rather be doing whatever I was doing before here, growing my beard and hanging out, having pizzas. But I really think that's part of his story.
I agree. I totally agree. I think in my mind, he was like just this adventurer, a thrill seeker. I think he is like a space Hemingway times a million of like every window I see, I want to see if I can bust through it. Like, you know, giant animal. Let me see if I can taunt it and ride it. Like, I think he was maybe somebody who just loved adventure, loved fun, didn't get involved because, you know, he has his own battles. Every moment's a battle if you face it the right way. And then I think in the style of Andor, right, when all these different people from kind of different walks of life are realizing everything we value is being squeezed and crushed. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some moment where Nick Sant was radicalized by the Empire's destruction of fun. That his thrill-seeking life, the planets where there used to be fun, are those things are all shut down. You know, maybe he used to lead some group. Parasail off the cliffs of Scarif. You know, maybe he used to go like a lava scuba diving on Mustafar, and all that is shut down. All that freedom is taken away. They have even taken away joy and fun. And that's when he's like, no more. I'm going on the adventure of a lifetime, taking down the Empire.
Yeah. The more you're talking about this, the more we're putting this out there, I'm upset that Tony Gilroy didn't include him in Andor season one.
He is our big prediction now for Andor season two of who's got to pop up? Nick Sant. Given his age, do you think Nick Sant spent a lot of time giving the youngsters advice they may or may not have asked for?
Oh, yeah. To his detriment. Yeah, this happens. It happens naturally. Younger kids in the younger generation, don't worry. This will be you too. I do it as well. You know, when I first started spinning tunes on radio in 95, it just starts to happen. So I think there's a lot of that with Nick Sant. I think it's teased for it, lovingly teased for it. And he just knows his place. And almost like a sitcom punchline. Like, he'll be like, well, and they'll be like, we know, Nick. And that's like the catchphrase.
We know, Nick. the catchphrase of our show me your beard. I think it's so funny how Nick Sant as a character is somehow revealing himself through Andor. But like, I think Nemec's speech about like this technology was kind of hard to master, but that you knew how to use this tech and the Empire's made us forget. Yeah. Oh, man, I don't think there's a single piece. I don't think Pathfinders can use a space fork without Nick Sant explaining to you how the Empire has taken away knowledge of true forks and how they work.
I love that.
I think lots of upsetting and unnecessary stories about his life. You know, like you ever, I know, sure, you heard of a puffer pig, but you ever eat puffer pig bacon? It spans inside you. Did you know that? Ever experienced that?
Yeah, he's like, man, you guys never had Lalilu Primak Holo Records, man. That cat could sing, man.
All your compressed digital files of Lalilu Primak singing. Let's look to the future of Nick Sant. Do you think that he survived the Battle of Endor? Wikipedia said nothing about it. Maybe some other stuff does. Do you think he survived the Battle of Endor? And if so, did he hand out presents at the Ewok victory party like Santa?
Yeah, I'm trying to scan my brain to see if there's any footage of him just clapping to the, no music dance party going on there. I don't think so. So I think he did survive. Absolutely. I think it was, he had a target on his back with that biker's cut off, but he survives. And not only did he hand out presents at the Ewok victory party, I think he said, maybe after the Battle of Jakku, he's like, you know where I'm going to go live? That Endor, man. I'm going to hang out with those bears. That was a lot of fun. I think he moves to Brighttree Village.
Yeah. I think that he handed out maybe some alcohol. Maybe he quickly carved some little sculptures of the battle. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think that he, at that party, became so enamored with the Ewoks and their ways. The drumming on the helmets.
Oh, my
the
God.
Strength of their forest brood Ewok hooch. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's in love. I'm exactly on the same page with you. He spent that night getting smashed with the Ewoks.
Because you know what? He
Merry
he,
Christmas, everybody.
He probably was on like Scarif before the Empire took it over, and he's like, man, we used to have some drum circles out there, and these Ewoks know drum circles. Let's exactly. do it.
Exactly. Past the Bezos. We're at it. Yeah. All right. So we've talked a lot about Nick Sant. We need to acknowledge actual Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. If Santa Claus is real, do you think he's a Jedi?
I mean, I got to tell you, I always assumed he was. I mean, the science of Santa getting around as fast as he does always confused me as a child. I was raised to believe that Santa did not exist from an early age. Parents were like, nope, not real. it just makes sense to me that Santa has some almost world between world type of powers.
Yes, I totally agree. He's very selfless. He wants to spread joy and love. He has a light side and a dark side list.
Yep.
But he's always open to dark siders making a better choice, mm-hmm. and that will change the list. All the stuff. Just watched season 4 of Rebels with the Bond. Ezra bonds with the Loth Wolves, and the Loth Wolves are so connected with the planet they can fold time and place, time and space. And, mm-hmm. and I think Santa has made that Jedi bond with the Loth Deer, and that's how they fly all through time and space on Christmas Eve.
Love it.
So some deep thoughts about Santa Claus and Nick Sant. We always like to make it personal. So Ken, would you ever dress up as a biker scout?
I think if I ever officially get, have an honorary 501st Belgium wing membership, the 501st, but if I was to actually do it, I would need to be a biker scout because I always go on about them. And then once my beard goes completely gray, maybe I blonde it up a little bit, then I go as Nick Sant. It's a perfect combination.
Full Nick Sant cosplay. I do want to dress up as a biker scout, but I feel I must dress up as a shore trooper first.
Yeah.
Partially just because the pants are so cozy when you're a short trooper.
And then you and I can reenact the story of Nick getting arrested on the Amos.
That's exactly right. Would you ever leave cookies out in the hope that Star Wars character Nick Sant would come to your house?
I would need to go down to those stores in L.A. that sell the special cookies for Nick Sant to get there based on what we're talking about. But yes, absolutely. If it gets me Nick Sant at my door, absolutely.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing I joke about doing that I'm not actually going to do. But I would like to find a recipe for holiday cookies that have meat in them. Like, not just a little bacon fleck, but like full ham chunks in the cookie. Because I think that's the kind of cookie that Nick Sant might make a special visit to your home to enjoy.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, we are going to go on to our final rating. We're going to rate the wild, the weird, the wondrous factor of Nick Sant. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos. That is Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Nick Sant?
Look, man, I'm going 9. Hear me out. Hear me out. Is he just a rebel? Is he just a pathfinder? That's like a 4. The beard, 5, sure. But you tell me the legend around him, the wrecks of it all. All right, but you tell me why L. Burner was selected from a bunch of day player extras to be in the front. You try to look at that from that point of view and tell me he isn't very special. He is unique. He's wild. He's wondrous. He's weird. He's all of it. I'm going 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that is really good, really compelling. You caused me to raise my rating from 7.5 to 8. There are so many things imbued into this character who is on screen for a brief and frankly confusing time. With what was even the plan with only one of you? Was he going to go? I captured all 37 of these rebels. I got one blaster trained on him. What was even the plan there, man? Was it to open the door? Was he going to be like, just, yeah, was he going to Anyway, so the dressing up, the vestigial tale of a deleted scene, that's weird. How did he earn the right? That's weird. The fact that he does look so much like stereotypical Santa Claus that some cheeky writer named him Saint Nick, that all pushes it up. And I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10 Lobot heads. And if I told Nick Sant that, he'd be like, you know what? I was once there when Lobot removed his head. I bet you didn't know he could do that.
Yeah, man, it was great. We hung out for a whole night.
Well, this was a fun way to celebrate the holidays. Lots of holiday spirit in this one. We always like to know what your ratings are. So how many Lobot heads would you give Nick Sant? Let us know. But that is our episode. Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
Yeah, man. Me and Lobot were listening to the Flying Burrito Brothers all night long in Best Man One Night. It was great. Yes, you can find us on Twitter at 4CenterPod. From there, you link to all the spots we are. We also are on Hive Social at 4Center over there.
That is right. Nick Sant's the one who gave Wilro Hood the Camtono in the first place.
Let me tell you, there was ice cream in there, brother. I put ice cream in there. That's what we got. Peace out, man.
Ice cream made of clouds. You ever heard of those? Anyway, we're clearly in love with the Nick Sant that we have entirely made up. No evidence for this version of Nick Sant that now lives in our minds and hearts and hopefully in yours as well. That is it for this episode. You can find me by going to just about any social media and looking for at Joseph Scrimshaw. Thank you all for listening all through the year, and we're excited for more adventures in the new year as well. And we hope those who celebrate are having a wonderful holiday, and those who are having a day are having a wonderful day. This has been Data Bank Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.